A sermon on John 14, 22 through 29. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The word of the Lord. May the Holy Spirit, the very breath of love, find her way into your life and gently call you into a fuller life, today and tomorrow and tomorrow. Amen. Do you know what a CASA is? A C-A-S-A? A court-appointed special advocate. They're also sometimes called guardians ad litem in the legal world. I like to think of them as angels in plain sight, because a CASA volunteer is appointed by a judge to represent and walk with and advocate for the rights and best interests of children in need of that sort of support. The national organization was founded by a man named David Suckup, who saw this need in his own courtroom. And it's made up of volunteers who stand in the gap and advocate for children in some of the moments of their lives that we don't even want to think about. My own family was blessed to have had an angel in CASA clothes walk with May during her transition from foster care to coming home to me. And without her advocacy, who would have been there for May? Who would be there to advocate for all the children who find themselves immersed in the legal system all alone? Thanks be to God for the CASAs all over this nation. And thanks be to God for that last A in the CASA name that stands for advocate. Advocate. Didn't we hear that term used in the gospel today? Right there in verse 26. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." This is one of the three promises that Jesus reveals to the disciples in this passage. The other two are the guarantee of a loving relationship between the first and second person of the Trinity, God and Jesus, and the promise of the return of Jesus. So in the three promises, we have love in relationship, advocacy, and the promise of the return of Jesus. Sounds pretty wonderful to me. But for today, I want to focus on that second one, the advocate who is being sent, God's own CASA, so to speak. We need that, don't we? After the week we've had, after the hate-fueled violence of last weekend in Buffalo, New York, and Laguna Woods, California, we need an advocate, because how else could we ever hope in the midst of such darkness, such violence, such hate, in the midst of a country that seems paralyzed to take what seems like any steps to limit the guns of war, or rein in hateful and radicalizing speech on social media, or even to simply call out Christian nationalism when we see it as Christians ourselves. This type of paraclete that God sent to us is a comforter, a helper, one called alongside, one called to intercede, to strengthen, to console, to enable, and to protect. That is what is meant in the Greek use of the word paraclete. All of those things. It's not simply just God's living, loving, creative breath. It is that, and it's all the other things too. The specific paraclete that the author of John speaks about here in this gospel is one of the indwelling personal presence. We need that. We need that type of advocate. We need the indwelling, we need the personal, and we need the presence. Maybe the presence most of all. The presence in and with and around us. Now, this is a different understanding of the Spirit of God that comes out of the Old Testament. You see, in this Older Testament, often God's Spirit is understood as this mysterious power of God, a supernatural revelation to only selected individuals, a revelation that bestows strength and courage and wisdom and knowledge of God's will. And here in John's Gospel, the theology of the Spirit is just as rich, but more importantly, through the Newer Testament, the Spirit is understood as God's mode of operation in the church. Let me say that again. The Spirit is God's mode of operation. The gift of the Spirit outpours God's love into the hearts of Christians and the hearts of all people and binds the Christian church together. The indwelling in this way is the basic principle that we mean when we say being in Christ. As the paraclete's job is to reveal Christ in order to enable followers individually and collectively to understand Christ's deeds and words, because we no longer have Christ bodily present with us, do we? And all Christians partake in Spirit. Remember, you are baptized in water and with Spirit. Now, it's true. Jesus was sent first, and we all know that Jesus has ascended into heaven, but God did not leave us alone, did not leave us without an advocate. No, God sent the Spirit to dwell and walk and join together and inspire us until Jesus comes again. Sometime in the tomorrow of tomorrows, that's not our worry, but that is what is meant when Jesus says, another advocate. And see, as Lutherans, we're not used to this type of theology or worship practice, right? In many Lutheran spaces, you could go days or months without a proclamation of the Spirit or the Spirit's work, and everything would seem fine. Lutherans can easily stand up into our word and sacrament and gloss over the work and power of the ever-moving and transforming Spirit. And it's my prayer that that is not going to be the case here in our community. And part of that responsibility falls upon me as a pastoral leader here. So I ask you, what is it that the Spirit is doing in this community? What are we being called to do? What are we being challenged to face? What struggles and opportunities are presenting themselves? Not as we might want or like, right? But as they are. As the Spirit knows they need to be in order to move us further down the line. First, a few observations. Yes, our spirits are tired. We can see this in each other. We can feel this. This is just the real. It is the real of this season of transition and new beginnings. You see, we are both leaving and coming into something, aren't we? We don't know what that is, and that causes us to feel worried and concerned and uncertain and out of sorts at times. It sounds like We need an advocate, someone to walk with us, to make sure our considerations and needs and values are being met, and to cheerlead us on when we step into the messy middle of all of that. We can't shy away from truth and reality. That is not what an advocate allows. Remember, an advocate walks with, comforts, works towards the solution with you, towards what consensus is, holding the needs and new beginnings in this beautiful, delicate tension. If we might listen to the Spirit with new ears, what would she say? What would we receive? I think that Spirit would remind us first that this isn't my church. This isn't your church. This isn't the Oregon Synod's church or even the ELCA's church, but this is Christ's church. And in that, we are called to live out Christ's commission. And that commission is not limited to a building or a specific place or a specific people or even a specific ministry. No, the commission is to love God and love our neighbors. We need to be reminded of that by our advocate in order to let go of what we need to let go of and step into what we need to step into. Even when it is scary, even when it isn't what we have grown accustomed to, even if it looks different from what we have ever experienced, even when it is with a different group of people, because we, as Christians, are bound together through our brother and redeemer Jesus, the first paraclete sent to us from God, the Creator, incarnate and enfleshed, and now risen into new life. And yet we are not alone. We are never alone. We have another, the paraclete, another advocate. Shh. Listen. You can hear her. She's moving right now in this space between us, through us, and she is calling us to action for each other and for the church, big C and little c. We can be our own casas. We are casas for each other and our own community. Let's not keep looking around for the someone to show up. The someone is already here. The advocate has been here since that Pentecost morning, also many years ago. The advocate will remain until we are collected back together into the arms of our brother and Savior, Christ Jesus. So in the meantime, we have work to do, my friends. Work to do together, not just for us, but for those we will never, ever meet. The generations of Lutherans who will join us in the community of saints and sinners that we call church. A church that we might not even recognize, yet church all the same. Thanks be to God, and let the church say, Amen.